I invite you to turn in your scriptures to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. No, it's not Luke chapter 13, it's Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I'm reading from the bulletin here, and it's not 11, 13, but 11. I probably put that wrong when I announced it. And we're going to be reading verses 1 to 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. You might need to switch that up on here. Let me just wait for that. Let's do without it. That's fine. Nope. Luke chapter 11. This is the context of the Lord's Prayer. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" You'll find different comments about the remainder of the Lord's Prayer on the bottom. And the difference is just some of the manuscripts that have the latter part in the Gospels and the others that don't. I believe that the latter part should be included in the Gospels as well. And then he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if a son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Children, let me begin by asking you as children a question. Have you ever tried to hold your breath for a long time? I wouldn't do it. And don't even put up your hand if you say that you have tried it, because mama and dad might not be too happy that you tried to hold your breath for a long time. But what would happen if you held your breath for a very long time? We know pretty much that if we don't breathe, we will die. We need to breathe. It's an important part of our physical life. And we need to remember that when we think about how important prayer is for the Christian. Prayer is to the Christian in the spiritual life like breath is in the physical life. What would you think if someone were to say to you, "I'm tired of breathing. I breathe about 15 times per minute, about 1,000 times an hour, 24,000 times a day. Multiply that times the number of years, days in a year, and a number of years of your life. I think I'm just going to stop breathing because I'm tired of breathing." Wouldn't that be silly? It would be. But now I want you to imagine if a Christian brother or sister, a disciple of Jesus Christ, a Christian, would say to you, "You know, I think I'm tired of praying. I pray when I get up in the morning. I pray when I go to bed at night. I pray before my meals. I pray after my meals. I pray when I'm in difficulties, when I have a need, and I've been praying for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 70 years, And I think I'm going to stop praying because I'm tired of praying. Wouldn't that be silly too? Because prayer is an important life, part of the life of the Christian. And we want to look at that. We don't need a doctor to tell us that if you don't breathe, you will die. And it doesn't take even a minister to say that if you don't pray, your Christian life, your spiritual life will begin to shrivel up. That's how important prayer is for us. So I want to look with you, and I'll make some reference to Luke chapter 11 from the passage that we have, or not all of it, but parts of it. And I'll make some reference also to the confession to be able to talk about how important prayer is. First of all, what is the context of prayer? The first C. What is the context of prayer? Why do we need it? And secondly, then, what is the content of our prayer? What we must be pray for in our lives. First of all, then, what is the context of our prayers? I suppose the first thing we would need to do is to define what is prayer. And there have been numerous books by theologians more astute than this doctrine of theology has ever been, writing large volumes about prayer. And they're important books, helpful to read and to meditate and reflect on. But really, very simply, we can define prayer as communion with God. Talking, having a conversation with God in our lives, we need to communicate with God and to maintain our fellowship with Him. Why? How did it come about that prayer is such an important part of the life of the Christian? To look at that, we can look perhaps at the answer to question 178 that defines prayer for us in the confession. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of His Spirit with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. With confession of our sins. That's key for understanding why we need to pray. You see, back in the time of creation when Adam and Eve were formed by God, created by God, everything was perfect in the world. We read in Genesis, and God saw that all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. It was perfect. There was perfection. Even the relationship between God and Adam and Eve were perfect. But something happened, and we can read about that in Genesis chapter 3. When sin comes into the world on the back of a deceptive animal, a snake, but it was the devil in the form of a snake, tricking Adam and Eve to sin. And when that sin came into the world, it broke that perfect relationship that existed between, that God had intended, between him, between God, and those whom he had created. Adam and Eve at that time and all of his descendants since then. So the fellowship is broken, and God, by His grace, put together a plan in which that fellowship could once again be restored, and that plan is completed through Jesus Christ. And that's why when we pray in the name of Jesus at the conclusion of our prayers. Prayer is that activity in the Christian life which helps us to once again bond our relationship with Jesus, with God. That broken relationship is restored when we commune with Him. That's how important that prayer is. Prayer is like a bridge, you might compare it to. If you have a wide, wide river and you're on one side and you can't get to, and you need to get to the other, and there's no communication unless you go over the bridge. Prayer is like that bridge that God provides for us in the person of Jesus Christ, who is an important part of our lives. Sadly, I think that if you are like me, I'll admit I can get that sometimes too, that we sometimes are in such a hurry. We get up too late in the morning. We sleep in just a couple minutes longer than we should have. Not even sure we have time for that breakfast that mom has out for us, or that the wife has set out for her husband, or the husband for her wife for that matter. Just don't have the time for that, and whoosh, out the door we go. I haven't even taken the time to give God thanks for the night that has just gone by and ask God for a blessing on the day ahead. The Bible teaches us that prayer is the most important part of our thanksgiving to God. Listen to what the psalmist in Psalm 116 says. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? You want to say thank you to God for all the things that you have in your life? One of the ways to do that, the most important part way to do that, is through your prayer life. There's a sense in our own lives in which praying is a profession of our faith. When we are praying, we are saying, Lord, I believe that you answer prayers. And I know you will answer this prayer. We have faith in Jesus Christ. So each time we pray, why would we pray if we didn't believe that? Right? Each time we pray, we are making a profession of our faith, saying, I believe in you, God. I believe in you. I know that you will answer my prayer. Luke, in his gospel, stresses the importance of prayer. Stresses how Jesus Christ saw the importance of prayer. Jesus is the one who set the example for us. Think of it this way. Jesus is teaching this prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, etc. But really, it is the Lord's Prayer only in that it is the Lord's Prayer that he teaches to his disciples, because his disciples, as we read in our text, gather around him and say, teach us to pray. And he uses the words of the Lord's Prayer in order to teach his disciples to pray. We are called to pray all the time. One of the shortest verses in the scriptures is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Now, children, again, your Sunday school teacher may ask you to choose a text to memorize for the next week's Sunday. You might go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 35. Two words. What are they? Jesus wept, in the context of Lazarus dying. Or you might choose 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, the verse that just precedes pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. And you think that you have tricked your teacher into doing something and doing what she said, but very simply. And then she may just say to you, you know what? I'm going to assign you a verse for next week. Esther chapter 8, verse 9. It goes like this. You ready? The king's scribes were summoned at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day. And an edict was written according to all that Mordecai commanded concerning the Jews to the satraps and governors and the officials of the provinces from India to Ethiopia. Take a breath. We're not done yet. 127 provinces, to each province in its own script and to each people in its own language, and also to the Jews in their script and their language. One verse, 81 words. Careful. The important thing to remember is that even the shortest verses in the scriptures are packed with meaning. The Bible teaches us that we need to pray without ceasing. Now, does that mean that we always need to be praying with our eyes closed and our hands folded? I suggest to you that you can be in prayer while you're driving down the 401 at 100 kilometers an hour. You wouldn't go faster, would you? But what would happen if you were to go down the road and your pastor on Sunday, your visiting pastor just said, well, you pray without ceasing, so you close your eyes and fold your hands as you're barreling down at 100 and change an hour. Well, you might get pulled over for distracted driving, wouldn't you? That wouldn't be wise. But you can still be in communion with God at all moments. The point is this, as part of our prayer life, we are always to dedicate every moment of every day to our God, asking Him to bless and to be with us and to accompany us in our travels. Jesus, setting the example in Luke shows Him as spending much, much time in prayer. Read through the gospel and you will see a lot of references to Jesus praying. There were times when Jesus spent an entire night in prayer. When is the last time you spent 15 minutes in prayer? Ask yourself, how much time do I take, even just in that quiet solitude time, yes, with hands folded and eyes closed perhaps, taking a time just in solitude with God? If Jesus saw and felt the need to pray to His Father in heaven, how much more do we need that in our lives? It's the example of Jesus that is there, but not only the example of Jesus, it's the command. Pray without ceasing, says Paul. But Jesus says, in the context of these verses, in the context of the Lord's Prayer, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask. That's a command. Seek. Another command. Knock. Another command word that reminds us that we are obligated to pray. And it's important for us to remember that when we go through our busy lives. The agenda of your day is not more important than the time that you spend with God in prayer. So what are we called upon to pray for? The Catechism reminds us, first of all, to whom? For whom? Who are we to pray about? Just ourselves? Selfishly? Yes, for yourselves. For your agenda, for your day, for the needs that you have. But it goes much further, much beyond that. Listen to what our Catechism, as we just confessed, says. We are to pray for the whole church of Christ upon earth. Just the church? Just the disciples of Jesus Christ? For magistrates, that would be our premier, our prime minister, our town councilors, members of parliament, the magistrates and ministers. For ourselves, our brethren, yes, even for our enemies. Have you ever thought about praying for someone who has not been very nice to you? And asking God to bless them. And for all sorts of men living or that shall live thereafter, hereafter. But don't pray for those who are dead. There was a lot of issues of praying for the dead back in the day. And nor for those who have sinned the sin unto death. And we're not going to get into that portion of it that talks about the sin of the unforgivable sin that basically says, attributes to Satan, what is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? But the important thing is that we are to pray beyond just for our own needs, but pray for the needs of others in our church. Pray for the needs of others in our world. Thinking about all the different things that are happening in our world and praying for that as well. That's what we are called to pray for. We can talk about two different categories of things to pray for. We can talk about, first of all, those spiritual aspects of our lives. We can ask God for faith. We can ask God for forgiveness of our sins. We can ask God to help us not to fall into the temptations that come our way. We can ask for the grace of God. And when we do, here's the great news. When we pray for these spiritual things, God always answers with a yes, because we are praying in earnest for that faith and for forgiveness of sins. He promises us that he will forgive and he will grant these requests. The other thing that we can pray for in our lives is the physical requests that we have. Listen to what our confession says. For what things are we to pray? We are to pray for all things, number 184. All things tending to the glory of God, the welfare of the church, our own or others' good. We are not to pray for anything that is unlawful. We are to pray, in a sense, this is telling us that we are called upon to pray in the will of God. Well, we don't know what that will is, but we can pray to God, and God answers our prayer always. I didn't say he always says yes. But God always answers our prayer. You ever have it when somebody asks for a prayer and then someone, when you're talking about it later on, say, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Oh, yes, he did. God always answers our prayer. Yes, indeed. Sometimes he says, yes, I will grant you what you are asking. Sometimes he says, no. Because he knows what's best for us. And what you're asking for is, at this time, perhaps not the best. And the most difficult part is when God says, wait, be patient. Now, why would he say wait? Because he wants us to learn to depend on him. Remember that I said earlier that our prayer is a profession of faith. Our prayer is a profession of faith that shows that we are depending on God to answer in the way that he sees best, in his own time, in his own way. He will answer to our prayers. Matthew 6, verse 33 reminds us about this asking and seeking and knocking. And there we read that God will take care of us. We read that all these things will be added to you as well. He will take care of our needs, our food, our shelter, our clothing. He will provide for us. Not as much as we would wish sometimes, perhaps. If we ask for a Mercedes-Benz, he's likely not going to answer that in a positive way. But if you ask him to provide a way for you to get from point A to point B on a regular basis, he'll find a way, whether it's through the bus or a friend or through a vehicle or something. God answers our prayers, and it's important for us to know that in our own lives as we live that. When we think this through and the answer to the prayers of our lives, Jesus gives us a model prayer. It's not the only prayer that we need to pray, but it is a good model for the prayer that God teaches us to pray. It starts with God. When you take the time to pray, do you start with yourself or with God? Our natural tendency is to begin with our own needs. And sometimes, unfortunately, part of the sin in our lives, the only time that we think to pray is when we have needs. We are called upon to pray when we are in need, surely. But God also calls on us to pray when things are going well and giving thanks to him, focusing our attention first on him. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first three petitions are focused on God. May your name be holy. Hallowed be your name. And then, giving thanks to God and praying for God's gift in our lives, then we can turn to the requests that we have. Forgiveness of our sins, our daily bread, being freed from temptation, as the Lord's Prayer teaches us that. We need to remember that prayer is not all about ourselves. Prayer is about God. and who he is, and the relationship that he desires to continue to establish in our own lives. I want to have each one of us, to encourage each one of us to reflect on our own prayer life, to reflect on how our prayer life is going. For some of you, you may be needing to start from scratch. Perhaps you have never really had or developed an active prayer life. I don't know the congregation. I don't know all of you who are here. For others of you, you may look at a time in your life when you spent time in prayer regularly, but you have kind of drifted away from that habit. Habits can be good. This is a good habit. And you have drifted away. This is your call to get back to it, to spend time in prayer before God. Others who have, by God's grace, been able to develop a healthy prayer life may look around you, give thanks to God for this relationship that you have with Him, that you have an active prayer life. Wonderful. Now go help someone else in their prayer life. You will know someone in your family or in your church or in your community, in your amongst your fellow workers, fellow students maybe, who you know are struggling with their prayer life, for whatever reason that might be. And God is saying to you, it's not enough that you have an active and healthy prayer life. I want you to help someone else in their own prayer life too. That's a part of supporting one another in the times that it is needed. Let's be thinking about our prayer life in times of worship when we gather together, in our own families as we gather together for family devotions around the table or before bed, in our own private and personal lives. God calls us to take time to pray in specific instances, and yes, indeed, without ceasing, every moment of every day, asking God to bless our agenda. Bless those things that we are active in so that we follow His pattern for life and not our own. May God bless you as you reflect on this in your own lives. Let's ask God for His help in that. Father, thank you for the reminder that we always need to be in prayer. We pray, Father, that you would help each one of us to analyze our prayer life, to determine how it is that we can not only strengthen or begin our own prayer life, but also to help others who are struggling with it, to identify the weaknesses that we ourselves have and the weaknesses in others as well. Father, above all, we pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would guide us and give us what we stand in need of to grow in our communion and in our fellowship with you through our life of prayer, communion with you, our God and Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen.